Okay, today I'd like to introduce my ongoing work and some future work for the collaborative computing for urban big data. And first, we will introduce some background. So we know computer science or information technology and goes through the many stages. In the first era, computer scientists pay main attention to the hardware software itself, such as how to promote the CPU speed and enlarge the memory capacity and bandwidth of network. And after entering the new century, we pay more attention to the new platform, such as how to get the mobile internet and the Internet of Things to make computing and resource benefit from each other. So recently, and the new platform, such as make the new computing and applications pattern that cloud computing and pervasive computing and embedded computing, so then we can classify the each computing platform to apply to the wider applications. And now we go to the big data thinking, because the traditional algorithm and the other computing paradigm, mostly we pay attention to the how to get speed up and how to to saving the energy for consumption. So we don't think the object for the for our processing. So now extremely driving we need to merge in the fusion information technology to human, machine, and things. So so big data is well deserved for further development of IT and applications. So we, if we change our thinking to the recently we used before the random and sample to the whole data and the accurate data to mesh data and causality to the and the relevance. We don't think the causality and for the if then else. We just think the and the several data has a relevance and to find some knowledge. So we all know that the data have the 4V properties, so we omit these features. Big data development is very booming in China. Lots of local governments are widely about to establish the industrial park, science park, just and introduced by Dr. Chen. If we see the Guizhou province and many strategy to established in Guiyang or Guizhou province, such as they establish the test bed of the big data, or already found the data exchange. You can similar as a stock, we can exchange the data, and you can sell the data or buy the data and at the data exchanges. So big data in industrial parks have been established in many cities, such as Shanghai, Chongqing, Wuhan, and other cities. But currently, they just constructed some buildings and absorbed the industry to transfer their attention to the how to make big data. So in government, projects also are proposed for such as the national basic research. So we all know the 9973 or some high tech projects such as 863 programs. This is my project to use an open big data collaborative project. And others, such as an aerial big data processing, such as biology, geo big data, and Media big data, network big data. This is and this project is proposed by the 3 years ago by the vice minister of the Huai Jinpeng, the professor. Yes, and also we also some new financing big data are also proposed. So. City and urban areas play an important role in the generation, dissemination, and trade storage and consumption of big data. So if we consider the big data as a smart city basis, so we can define the urban big data are multi-source heterogeneous data that are closely related to urban development, city administration, and our daily life. So every day, extreme amount of data are generated, not only for the strategy data, such as our ID information and banking, but also an non-strategy data, such as if you the food security trace and public opinion and other data. So we can see urban data is the crux of the smart city and take many and major issues such as public security and traffic congestion and energy consumptions. So Chinese government is projected to put a great effort to the urban big data computing, not only for the new model, new mechanism, new new architectures and a new platform and the new environment. The key research requirements can be summarized as a smart 3 A's. There is smart sensing upon big data and a smart system for processing big data. And finally, we need a service to enhance our life. So in China's government national guidelines of medium and long-term program for science technology said that we need to focus on and add data acquisition and in the urban space integrated and mining is the main task of our to develop an urban ability. So to build a real smart city, it is and crucial enable precise and refined management in the cities. So big data based decision and management is the foundation of the smart city. So we come back to the main idea for, actually it is first we need to collect the ubiquitous data from all the world. If we have the real lives, then gathering the collected data and refined data using the many algorithms or many manners, many ways to sensing the data. So then we need to crowd user crowdsourcing to get the knowledge discovery, then get a smart service. So to can get a knowledge sharing and all the benefit of prediction and others. So if we back to the way can establish this and the platform, the framework for big data computing. The first level, the first layer is infrastructures. So you can gather data to from the real world and use the middleware, the second the middleware supporting for data sensing and crowdsourcing and smart service. And we can provide some applications. But this is the circles. If we use this application, we can generate new data, so then can also back to the platform to processing the new urban big data. So if we are back to the components and to observe the data source organization, we can get the observation that the value of urban big data is contained in a triple space. That is human cyber physical spaces. So some data get from our real life, our physical world, such as what we're sensing from the traffic congestion and other video data. And another is from cyberspace. If we use Twitter and Facebook and from in China the Weibo and WeChat. So the third one is a human being. We have some opinion, and for the in our real computing social network, get some data transferred to the cyberspace. So we can classify these urban big data different with some area big data, such as biology big data is very and singles. So this is complex data. So when you this have besides 4V properties, there are another three we can H, the hybrid, hyper, and harmonic. So use this three observation we can conclude that there are two challenges to be solved. One is data awareness, because from every big data, we don't need awareness, because just we get and transfer from storage, then can and get data processing. Another is knowledge discoveries. You need to provide knowledge to the strategy maker or some get some strategy to the city management, city managers. So we divide our project to the three sub-projects. First is the collaborative sensing for triple space urban big data, and the second one is collaborative cross-sourcing based on human-machine interactions. Third one needed to support this as using the platform that is intelligent platforms, urban data processing and analysis. So challenge one, and if we can detail the challenge one to be solved, that is associate and extraction for three triple data. So first, you need how to eliminate the space isolation in order to get the and all the scope of awareness objects. So first, you need to get the triple data, big data, choose one uniform hyperdimension big data representations. So we call these associations. Another is and stage is extractions from the hyperdimensional big data uniform representations to the prime big data. That is the big data is used after the refined. And the second one challenging to be solved is the human-machine collaboration based on the cognition and reasonings. The first thing you need the cognition from prime big data to the effective knowledge. So if we get this knowledge, we can traceability and predictions of some phenomena or get some knowledge to provide to the strategy maker, to the city management. So second, I will introduce our ongoing research world. So first, I'd like to introduce three highlights of our projects. One is the collaborative crowdsourcing systems. So we call this a single distributed deep learning framework used and can be deployed on GPGPU cluster. That is the accelerator we collaborate with the Huawei company. This is also as open source in Apache as a top level project. You can download this and install your GPU systems and can get a deep learning and accelerator systems as this. The second one is multifaceted and high scalable urban big data and platforms. So we can see and before if we use in the big data processing, you use MapReduce or you just use Hadoop Spark, that is separate, different. So currently we and uniform this platform using the and multi programming interface and enrich the many and computing introduced get to the one platforms. You can if we throw the job into this system, then can automatically and adapt the task to the different the processing system, such as if you're using HDFS and or using MapReduce. So this is our system and overviews. So three and the platforms that solve the many and the real world smart city problems. We first try to do how to sensing data and collaborate with Xi'an government, Xi'an local government, that smart and administrative systems so how to sensing data. The second way is we collaborate with ZTE communication and companies and telecom companies and in industry to build as a cloud infrastructure using our some algorithm or some platforms. Okay. And only 3 minutes. So what we are doing is we want to design a holistic system solution so that and according to the urban big data, we can provide and precise and refine the management in future as smart city. The whole solution still could be divided into the three parts, and those are sensing, collaborative, and analyzing. So this is three parts. First is sub project is devise a cross space augmentation of data sensing on the distilling of the method. The second was to realize a human machine and a collaborative deep computing mechanism. A third one, of course, this is how to get the platform to support this and to subject or get sensing and crowdsourcing and also data analysis. So this is first and subject overviews. It can be classified four components. So first, discovery. So data, how to discover it, and second is how to augment the data, and the third is selection the good data and the bad quality data, and first and how to representations. So the first and augmented data sensing we can be divided into the four steps. First and optimize, engage, and optimal and customize and user enhance and understanding and faster processing. Use the different the algorithm with the currently and existing algorithms for our models. Second is a refined data. We use one method to express the heterogeneous data representations, not only for the user statics data and use also use the behavior data, also data can sense from different behaviors. These achievement published on the such as Infocom and KDD and other conference. The second way is second project is collaborative crowdsourcing based on the human machine interactives. So also we need to first model and this challenge and mechanism and methods. We can see our models. So we in level and the crowdsourcing is from the cloud. There are some ideas, suggestion, and evaluation too can be, we can be gathered and cloud intelligent and expression by some decision tree or some metrics and representations. Then get this data as into the computer, then get the output. This is the circle for the how to get the knowledge from the data analysis. So the multi-level, we call this deep learning. So how to finish this computer, we need to give some idea to the computation. This is on human intelligence and models. And get the 2 minutes, okay. And we use prediction and acceleration and quality control to the user this and advanced knowledge discoveries. So third one is platforms. And this user and First, we need to create a reliability platform and a smart engine and efficient infrastructure. So to support some applications, urban big data and administrations. Okay, we can be divided into these four so part of it. So real time, we construct and system we call it and Simba. They will get the best paper from the Sigmo and the first, second way is reliability to how to get storage and very efficient. And third one for the and efficiency and accelerate the coding and in security for the for and encryption of the based the designs. So this is all the levels from application system layer, middleware and architecture and hardware layer. We give some optimization for this platform, and we also implement and develop the system for the green part is also developed by ourselves, and just the data source and data storage and database are used as a SQL base. So we introduce some applications. The first one is on the smart traffic analysis. This is a collaboration with Shenzhen and Metropolitan and government. So we use the GPS, China Unicom, China Mobile, and bus taxi and waivers. So first, we collection from this infrastructure, from the data to the and data set. Then we modeling the user and for density or speed. And finally, we get some integration and applications. So this is the results for the Shenzhen. Green is the, we can define the three, the green the check and bus and haul and taxis. And the second one is the crowd density controls. Because so the transportation combination of the Shenzhen we can crowd and movement to and get some extension predictions. So we just omitted this, get the results. So black hole, we call this urban black hole, where the crowd density is too high. If the and larger than the larger than the average and density, we can and this is and red holes and hot holes. And if the larger the, and double of the and averages, so we can and get this as a black hole. Then we need to and very and a lot to the policeman or other government to need to get a focus on these areas. The third one is subway and passenger and flow analysis. The subway selection flow analysis basically of subway and from different time slot we can get this as a change of the which station is as how many people we can we can get. The first one is and we collaborate with the Guiyang government and composite travel index. So indicates the picture of the and sneak spot. It requires basic information of such as traffic, weather, population. We get this number as if the larger than 70, you can see it's suitable for the you travel to this area. Otherwise, you don't need to go to the other areas. And also, tourist control, tourist and feature, and the scenic spot hit. And what kind of the area is a hit spot? And the traffic trace. Also, tourist and the distribution. And we get basic information for the and tourist, who is young people or old people, women and others. So finally, we want to and a conclusion. I admit to this their ongoing performance. We develop and well managed project and funded by the Ministry of Science and Technology of China and build a competitive big data research team and the some serial technologies and platform and give some examples of solve the real world platform in the smart cities. Thank you. Because the time is yours.
20 minutes, I have to be very quick. CPS, cyber physical system platforms. Okay, so there are two kinds of smart city project. One is actually pushing and advancing ICT in a smart city context. The other one is actually more focusing on the social issues, solving city issues by using ICT. So let me show you one of our projects. We were actually working on so-called EU-Japan project called the Cloud of Things, Cloud T project. So let me show you the video for, it should work. Okay.
Let me tell you about an innovative solution for tomorrow's smart cities. Today, progress in micro and nanotechnologies has considerably reduced the size of communicating devices, such as sensors or smartphones. These can be deployed easily, whether on the scale of a home, a city, a country, the world, or even beyond. Imagine a city filled with various sensors for traffic, pollution, weather, noise, anything's possible. At each point in time, these devices generate data specific to that city at that moment. Now, imagine that you can retrieve this data flow securely. Imagine that you can store it. Imagine that you can sort this data flow in real time in order to offer it for various applications. These applications could then combine data to make enriched information. This information could be used by various tailored, responsive services designed to improve quality of life for the city's residents. This innovative solution has a name, the Cloud of Things.
So I will stop the video and then I will quickly go through the some of the smart city project and the smart city services. The main mission, my mission is trying to introduce you the notion of sensorizer. Usually all the data is actually coming from the legacy sensors, but actually we created the virtual sensors. Virtual sensor means actually there are many open data in the web space. So we're trying to actually scraping some of the web open data and then feed into the sensor stream in our system. And then I summarize with the challenges, namely IoT data, open IoT platform, and then IoT security, if I have a time. There are two types of smart city project I already mentioned. For instance, in Europe, they have FIPPP, which is Future Internet, public-private partnership, and FiWare, and IoT project, and so on. In US, there is a NSF, started like a smart connected community project, and so on. On the other hand, right-hand side is more like solving the social issues by ICT. Okay, so these are the buzzwords actually we're trying to push in terms of ICT technologies. Here in this faculty summit, many people are talking about big data. We actually emphasize some of the social open big data. Some of the private corporation has a huge set of big data, but they don't open it. So we have more emphasis on the social open big data, and then trying to advance some of these technologies. This is a quick picture snapshot of the future internet public private partnership. In Europe, there are many activities, logistics, transportation, mobility, and smart food, safe and secure city, and so on and so on. So their uniqueness is trying to create a platform or middleware for developing these applications more cheaper way or quicker way. Okay. In US, they are more aggressive, actually. They're trying to come up with new idea. It's called the X Challenge Scheme. They are trying to invite many new solutions, investigating design to advance the development of IoT technology within a smart city or a smart community environment. They push very hard to come up with a better solution. Okay, in Japan, we have some kind of project back in 2012 and 2013, trying to solve the social, I should say, town issues by using ICT. I just show you one example. It's called the Shiojiri City in the Nagano. there are many rice field and agricultural field, and they had a problem with wild animal like boar, bear, and deer. So they're trying to detect these wild animals and they capture it by using wireless sensor network and crowd. Actually, they were putting these cage in many places. They are very successful. So the damage was reduced to almost 0% in 2 years. They saved $250,000. In all over Japan, actually, this damage is roughly $230 million in Japan. So many startups are selling now these kind of connected cages, okay, for farmers. So what is the problem? Problem is actually there are many vertical solutions. It's called the silo. We didn't have a IoT platform. So ideally speaking, there are many different domains for smart city applications, but we really need to have some kind of open IoT CPS platform so that the many different data can feed into the different domain. Right now, the data is actually vertically partitioned. Healthcare is here, agricultural things is here, disaster recovery is here, and so on. So we need more like better open IoT platforms. So let me show you some of the example of smart city services we created in Fujisawa City. We divided into three types of apps. One is called the citizen app, city office app. Mainly city officer trying to analyze the what's happening in the urban area, urban context. And then third one is for NPO apps. Okay. In some sense, if we look at the cyber physical systems point of view, what we were doing is trying to sense many things happening in the city from the legacy sensor as well as human as a sensor, well, web page as a sensor, virtual sensors, many things feed into the cyberspace, and then trying to do analytics and then feed back into the physical space. If we classify these services, we can go into the four levels. While we were processing the data coming from the physical space, we do a context capturing. This is one of the most important things, context capturing. After that, some application trying to push scientific visualization, so trying to give awareness to citizens or city officers so that hopefully the citizen may change the behavior. I can give you some of the examples. And then second level is based on this contextual information, they're trying to optimize the resources or control providing optimal allocation of resources. So this is more optimization phase. The last level is more creating a predictive applications. So when you go to, let's say, city of Beijing, in 2 hours, I really would like to know which parking slot is empty, available. So in the two hours later, I have to find out which one has most high probability of availability and so on. So weather-wise, you know, weather forecast is very successful predictive applications, but the city should have more many different type of predictive applications. Okay, so quickly, I have to go through these two project examples. Some of the details are in this book. We have enablers for smart cities, actually just published. We just go through this. One of the emphasis was trying to create a generic reference architecture for smart city middlewares. So we're trying to integrate with the IoT technology with the cloud paradigm. So we have a cloud layer here, and then we have something called IoT kernel, and then we created the many different tool sets. Okay. One uniqueness of our project is doing a field trial in the different cities, one in Santander in Spain, one in Geneva in Italy, one in Fujisawa City in Japan, and Mitaka City. So I'm trying to introduce just two unique examples of city apps. This one is called the Fujisawa City Dashboard. And then, as I said, we can treat different sensors in a very unified API, so you can get a picture of a river nearby. Often, sometimes, they have a flooding problem, so they really would like to see what's happening in a river. You have some weather information here, and so on. So some of the participatory sensing can actually generate some of the information like that. And two examples was tested. One is in a train station. It's called the Enokama gate system, and then Smiley Coupon. Smiley Coupon is capture user's smile and provide the coupon based on the degree of smile. There's a public display, trying to find out your face, and then based on your degree of smile, you take yourself, not us taking a photo, you yourself take a photo, and then you generate the coupon with your face. Then you can present it to a shop. This one is a public display, but it's unique with the virtual sensors, connected with the virtual sensors. These are Japanese whitefish, it's called the shirasu. Some people like to eat some of the white fish, shirasu. And then this is the shirasu information, say. It is impossible to create a sensor to capture the amount of shirasu available in the Enoshima area, but there is lots of microblog. So you can scraping the blog information and then indicating how much you have a shirasu today. Okay, at the public station. So this is an example of Smiley Coupon. So if you are good, you can get a better discount. Okay, so this was actually very interesting. So we ported this service into the Santander. There was a problem. There's a different data protection regulation in the EU country and Japan. Even though the customer is taking a photo by themselves, we are not recording any picture, but we have a camera there. So some of the EU protection says if the customer is under 12 years old, you are not allowed to take any kind of photo. And we said, we are not taking a photo. Customer is taking a photo, but we had a big debate. So in order to accept these services in the EU country, you must have many descriptions first. But anyway, I will show you later. This is another one, participatory sensing system, Fujisawa Mina Report System. This is a human as a sensor. Each city officer has a smartphone, almost everyone. So actually, this is the rakugaki. It's a calligraphy on city resources. So these are very bad, right? These are illegally dumped, some of the garbages. So the city officer can actually casually taking a photo without any additional actions, they can report back into the city office, and then you can get the report. Okay, so this is another one. The chair in this session talked about air pollutions. We have the same kind of concern in Fujisawa City too. So instead of using a fixed set of expensive sensors, we created the very small sensors put into the garbage collection truck. They go one by one so that actually we can keep track the very microscopic pollution levels, environmental sensors. Okay. So these are some of the data, so you can see. This is a map of Fujisawa City. There is Enoshima Island, and then our campus is around here. And then garbage truck is moving like this, and then going back to the incineration plant. There is a plant here. So when they approach to the plant, they have to dump the entire garbage to the plant. So you can see the dust level, humidity level goes up, and so on. These are the environmental informations, NO2, O3, CO, and so on. Okay, here's another visualization. All the data are the same. We use the same sensor over XMPP protocols. So you can actually utilize these data very quickly. You can see where it's located. You know, these are the location of garbage truck. These are the data, PM2.5, UV, humidity, acceleration, and air pressure, and so on. Okay, because of the time, I have to go through. One of the challenges we are facing is trying to reduce the amount of city garbage. This is very interesting things. Can we reduce the total amount of garbage? If everyone could reduce 1 gram, 1 gram per day for 1 year, we can save actually $63,000 in the city budget, only 1 gram. So we're trying to show these informations, and now we were preparing something called the G1 Grand Prix, so which city block could reduce how much garbage and so on. So we're trying to do that. So this is a kind of visualization-based behavioral change, how we can, we may need a gamification help or whatever, but we're trying to do that. Okay, now the sensorizer. Sensorizing the web data, these are the architecture. Protocol is very simple. It's like MQTT or co-op or traditional publish-subscribe model. Okay, so we can basically get the data from the legacy sensor or human as a sensor or web page as a sensor. We make it as a XML description with the meta information, and then you can publish it, okay? And then application side, all you need is finding out the sensor node information and then subscribe it. These are open software, so if you're interested in, please download from here, socks.htsfckoacjp. One example, so putting, getting, say, weather information from the Paris is very difficult, but there is a web page, let's say, accuweather.com, so we can create, actually, virtual Paris weather sensor by scraping the, this digit, 17, and then this text. So by, this is a Chrome extension, by simply scraping the entries, you can create name of the virtual sensor is called Paris weather. Location information type, the metadata is the temperature, unit is Celsius, and then weather is a text and so on. Then you can say, okay, then you can create a virtual sensor. Then you can visualize like that. There are many city data already created, you know, industrial type, temperature, humidity, environmental type, human flow type informations. This is an example of parking lot information in Tokyo area. So many private corporations like Mitsui or Park 24 has these information. They publish on the web, but they don't have an API. So we cannot get these data, but by using a sensorizer, we can actually extract and then store this information for 3 months or 6 months so that we can create the predictive applications. So that's one. This is Soramame data, which is the air quality sensor already published by Japanese government. We're trying to scrape, but we don't want by hand one by one. So we have some semi-automatic technique. Then you can actually, after virtualizing this huge table, you can visualize these informations. These are actually basically entire Japan. You don't need to reinvent some of the things, okay? So these are very nice way of visualizing the air quality over Japan. Okay, so these are some of the statistics. We have 123,000 object. Large object means a picture. And then these are the sensor node per day, 4,306. Total number of record is this much and so on. So the in few minutes, I have to summarize. What are the challenge for smart creating smart city service? I picked the three of them, okay? But before that, there are two things. One is non-technical challenges. We have lots of problems with culture issue, governance structure, or process in a municipality office, citizens' involvement, or incentive. These are the non-technical challenges we have to solve. In terms of technical challenges, I picked only three. One is the IoT data. Who owns the data, the privacy protection, and so on, and then open IoT platform and security. So this is an example I mentioned to you. In order to transfer some of the services, namely Smiley coupon to the Spain, you see these logos from KO and City of Santander. The many shops in Santander, they were very excited. They like to have a Smiley coupon so that the people can go to the restaurant or cafe, and you know, it was very successful. But as I said, if a user is very young, they have to read through the description first and then taking a photo. So these are the actual demo they did. And it was very interesting exercise, actually. Same kind of services, but if you are in a different country, we have to obey the country's regulation. So it was very good exercise. Okay. Okay, so in summary, I just trying to say, in the technical aspect, we have three challenges. One is the data, how we do privacy enhancement for the big IoT data. Some cases, ownership of data is very fuzzy. So who owns the data? Who allow you to do a secondary process of the data? And also, we have to increase the data literacy among citizens. And then open IoT platforms. Shall we put all the data into the core, or shall we keep it in the edge, or shall we keep it in the fog layer? So these are the still open issues. And then in terms of IoT security, this is very important. Professor Shamir had a very interesting talk in the 21st Century Conference. I totally agree with him. You know, without having an internet of secured things, our society will be dangerous. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for the introduction. It's a great pleasure to join this nice event. To give a talk here. In this short talk, I know my time is very limited. I will try to share some experiences and insights from a series of works on user behavior modeling. Yeah, and because of time limitation, I will introduce the main concepts without going to the very technical details. Yeah, so as we know, the mobile sensing social network space is growing very fast, and lots of big data in this field has been collected very rapidly too. Yeah, so this is a cartoon showing the application scenario on user behavior modeling, prediction, and recommendation. And basically, by using different kinds of data sources related to the users, like the location data, and like the wearable or mobile devices, and so on, we can do some preliminary recognition activities on this data, and then build complicated behavior models in terms of different kinds of categories. And then, which can be applied to different applications. Yeah. And the good news is we also have rich kinds of tools in dealing with big data, including for structured and unstructured data with many kinds of tool sets. Yeah, so the key issue here in this story is can we model and predict users' behavior by transforming this big data into useful intelligence? Yep, so we try to model this problem in this kind. We can see this with a group view with people the items, the locations, and the items, like the, for example, the restaurants, or some scenery spots, and so on, and also some contextual sensing data, and also the relations among them, for example, the people to people to item, or people to people, meaning the social relations, and also like the people location preference, something like this. Okay, so in the following, I will quickly introduce several topics in different dimensions, like the including the user dimension and the location, and also the relation dimension. Okay, so first, in terms of user profiling, of course, we want to have for full spectrum modeling of a user, okay, including the interest, the profile, everything. And the first thing, for the profiling, like the user's demographic features, I would like to take one contest held by Nokia in year 2012 as an example. This project is actually based on large-scale data collection in the Europe, involving several hundreds of participants for duration around 1 year. So many kinds of data, including their personal information, the identified, and their social relationship, and also especially their something like their mobile sensing data, like their location, their other Bluetooth, and so on. All kinds of data you can think about collected in the smartphone was put there. So typically, big data. And street tracks was held there. And because of time limitation, I will only talk about this one, the demographic actually prediction involving something like the gender, age, and so on for prediction. And my team luckily won the second prize in the track. Yeah. So take one thing as an example, one target. Can we predict the user's gender? Okay, based on this data. Yeah. So we have many kinds of features to utilize, right? Yeah. For example, the calling log could be one important clue. One point of source. In this data actually is very rich, so you have very detailed information about, say, the calling log, at what time, and to whom, of course, they say the identified ID, and for how long you make a call, okay? Yeah, so you can, we can construct lots of features, yeah. So we conduct actually quite standard data modeling flow, from feature construction to dimension reduction, and for modeling, we actually ensemble several kinds of models. Okay, yeah. So the result is actually very encouraging, yeah, and even kind of surprising. The accuracy can reach as high as around 96%. Okay, so yeah, this is the happy part, and also. This also shows actually the power of big data because in this context, actually we use basically existing techniques, yeah, although coupled with some sophisticated tuning, yeah, but basically all existing techniques. Okay, so with comprehensive enough data, yeah, we can enable invisible intelligence, something like this. Yeah, but one problem here, if we want to deploy this into real application in smartphone, actually this is kind of infeasible. Yeah, actually in for the winner teams, basically we use a lot of features. For the best winner, actually you use more than 10,000 features. Yeah, so it's you can imagine it's not practical for real application. So can we extract some key or dominating feature from it, okay? Yeah, so because time limitation, yeah, I will not give you a guessing time, but some intuitive guess might be like the calling or the air time. Yeah, some people might think the female may like talking more than the male, right? But actually, for this data, it's not the truth. And the real key feature here, is actually the accelerometer, data. Yeah, do you want to give a guess? Give a guess for why? Actually, the answer is very simple. Yeah, based on very different behavior, of male and female, right? Yeah, so I don't need to explain more. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so the lesson here is, even we can build a very accurate, powerful-looking model, if we want to deploy it into practical application, the real consideration, like a key feature distribution, is very important. Yeah, and also the domain expert knowledge is important. Yeah, actually, there is some story behind. When we first discovered this feature, we are also kind of not surprised, but we discussed with some social scientists and learned the reason very quickly. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so for user behavior modeling, actually, is really an interdisciplinary field. Okay, so moving ahead, we can try to build a prediction model for users' location movement. Yeah, so I think the location prediction problem is very simple. Given a sequence of user movement, try to predict at the next location. Okay, yeah, so this is normally called the trajectory pattern mining. Yu is actually a top pioneer in this category, and there are lots of state-of-the-art methods like awareness, basically using sequential pattern mining based approach to build the user movement model and do prediction based on that. Okay, yeah, but one issue here is basically. The current method consider only the geographic feature. Yeah. For example, given these three trajectories, which two are more similar? The answer might be different if we consider from the geographic or from the semantic part. Okay. Yeah. Actually, we can transform the geographic location into the semantic level. Yeah, so we can have a very different view, okay? Yeah, so the main idea here is we try to transform the geographic data into semantic labels, and then build models by fusion geographical and the semantic data together, okay? Yeah, I'll skip the details, and this is some evaluation. You can see for the precision, actually the approach like awareness, can also reach very well. But for measure like recall, the approach like geographic based approach like awareness, tends to be low. Yeah, okay, because in many situations it can't be applicable. Yeah, but if we fuse two kinds of information together. Yeah, we can achieve both well, okay? Okay, so an even enhanced version is to consider an even more complete pattern of the user. I will just, the base idea is to design a more comprehensive moving pattern, and then we can do the user pattern clustering. Yeah, to build a complete model. Yeah, so the pattern is basically comprised of the four users moving from one location to next location. We try to model the location, including the geographic feature and the semantic feature in terms of probabilistic feature, because I might carry some uncertain property with in terms of different categories, okay? Yeah, and also the state time and so on, Yeah, so this compresses even more complete pattern for the movement. Yeah, and for some evaluation on two real data sets here, we can also show, we can also see this kind of approach can achieve even higher accuracy as well as the recall. Okay, and there, even for the problem is if we can utilize some social information, to predict users' behavior, for example, to do urban POI recommendation. Okay, yeah. So I will skip the background part. And the main challenge here is still how to extract useful features and also how to model the relevance between the users and the POI and how to do the effective recommendation. Yeah. So the best idea is to do relevance learning first by designing some key features here. And then we can do the peer recommendation accordingly. Yeah. So, for example, we can design some feature like a social factor, which consider the relevance of different users in terms of their checking behavior. Okay. Yeah. I skip this. And also, the individual preference based on the checking size. Okay. And of course, some detailed information must be considered in terms of lots of categories for the POI and also the POI popularity based on the country, on the checking of the users. Okay? Yeah. So based on these features, we can actually easily learn a model. For example, here we use a regression tree-based model. Okay? And we did an evaluation on our data set from Gowala past popular website acquired by Facebook previously, and including around 2 million POI and more than 5 million check-ins. Yeah, let me skip this. So based on NDCG, which actually reflects the rank-based accuracy, we can see this kind of approach can outperform other approaches. Okay, yeah, but something more. Can we do even better model, modeling for this problem? Yeah, so one interesting issue here is if you want to build more sophisticated model, a normal way is to push all kinds of features together into a model by based on something like a cost function. Okay, yeah, but the problem here is for this kind of application, we might have lots of heterogeneous features, okay? So it might lead to biased results in trying to optimize in all features at the same time. Yeah, for example, one popular method in modeling user movement is the, his best render work, yeah, okay? Yeah, it's very useful for location prediction. But when applied to more complicated scenario, like including many other features like social factors and so on, it might not be that good. But because as mentioned, you try to optimize the function for all parameters at the same time. Okay, so the idea here is we try to do a dynamic style random work modeling. Basically, we try, actually the idea is to trade the accuracy with the offline learning, okay, and interactive learning. So basically we iterative and randomly use some features at a time, yeah, not all simultaneously, and iteratively feed this to optimize the feature iteratively. Yeah, so this will take time. Yeah, but when it converge, okay, yeah, this is kind of like something a little bit like the convolutional learning approach. Yeah, it can achieve a quite good model for this, and we will not lead to biased like linear regression or some other kinds of approaches. So this is an example evaluation compared to the method I just mentioned. I can achieve even better accuracy. So it's a final summary. We have something work in progress, something very interesting. Because time limitation, I couldn't introduce more. But I'd like to say this. First, we can integrate everything together. For example, including the location, social network data. For location, we can infer the user's the location's semantic. So we can know what kind of place the user is with. Okay? Yeah, and also for social network data and even the wearable device signals, like the activity, vital signs, and so on, and the contextual sensing data, and so on. And when all these are put in together, we can do something even more magical for user behavior prediction. I will give a very quick example later. And also, we can use deep learning approach for this kind of modeling, because all this data actually can be modeled with different layers, okay? Yeah, and composing a very complex networks for this. Yeah, for example, we are currently investigating the long short-term prediction of user location, not only the last location, but also, for example, where the user will be for next weekend, something like this, okay? Yeah, and there'll be lots of applications. A very good example for a project we are currently conducting in Taiwan is an intelligent mobile healthcare framework. Basically, for some patients, like especially for chronic disease patients like asthma, their vital signs and their physical condition of the patient can be collected through medical device and their mobile wireless devices and transmitted to their medical center. And as well, the environmental information, actually just like Professor Tuda just introduced, actually this kind of information is now very available in real time. Okay, I think it's in a worldwide trend. Okay, that so could be put together for real-time prediction. Okay, once some high risk is predicted, it can be alerted to the patient as well as the doctor. Yeah, so this is the technical framework, including everything, especially including the patient's medication records in the hospital can be put together for offline monitoring first. Okay, yeah, and use scenarios like this, for example, for asthma patient. We can predict the patient's risk for asthma attack based on their pre-built model, which used together all information I mentioned just now. Okay, yeah. So based on the user's physical condition and the location, which can also can further infer the air quality, the environmental information here. Yeah, we can do early prediction for the outbreak. And even further, since the weather forecast information can also be available, and we can, if we can do prediction of the user's location, long-term location, more accurately, actually we can predict the user's risk, say, maybe 1 week later, we can predict the user will be in some place, and we can use that place, weather forecast information, and also the air information to do very early prediction for this application. Okay, so that's all about it. Thank you.